have you ever wondered about the why and how you move, of how you move? More specifically, have you ever wondered if you were actually doing it right or wrong? Katrina James spends a lot of time pondering that. She is a workplace ergonomist. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Ali.
Okay, so what exactly is ergonomics and what do you as an ergonomist do?
Ali, an ergonomist is someone, in simple terms, that looks at and examines the relationship between people and their work and their work environment. So what are they required to put into the work and what comes out of it? And so what I do is help people with that to optimise their work and optimise their productivity. And I think that in turn is good for everybody.
Okay, well, I'm currently broadcasting from a standing desk. This is the first time I've ever anywhere I've worked had a standing desk. But this is a rather new phenomenon, isn't it? So what's the thinking behind this?
Well, look, Ali, standing desks have been around for about 20 years.
We've just caught up.
But they have become a lot more popular in the last, say, 2 years. And the thinking around that is that sitting down for long periods of time is actually really not good for our health, our long-term health, in terms of heart disease and diabetes and those sorts of things. So standing desk is about getting people to move. So a standing desk is part of an overall process to encourage people to move their body a little more when they're working.
My guest is Katrina James. She's a workplace ergonomist. So if you have any questions about how you're sitting or standing or moving and surviving in your workplace, give me a call on 1300 222 891 and you can speak to Katrina. Do you come across certain jobs that have bigger challenges than others when it comes to movement?
Absolutely. So in heavy manufacturing, where you've got people doing maintenance roles and they have to get into small spaces with heavy tools and that sort of thing, that's challenging. And in things like construction, where you're actually building something. So there's certainly many challenges out there.
Well, that's certainly a considerable consideration around Adelaide. There's a lot of construction, the new hospital, science centre, university extension. Can you talk to me about crane drivers and what they need to watch out for?
Okay. So for crane drivers, they're actually stuck in a small space generally for a long time. They can have a lot of stairs to get back up and down. So building in relief breaks can be tricky for them. And that's one thing they need to look out for, is to make sure that those breaks are built in so they can get on and off the crane during the day. And the other thing is that if they're not actually engaged in a crane movement, a load lift or whatever, that they can actually get out of the seat and stand up and move around a little bit. There isn't any room for calisthenics or yoga mats, but just to actually move the body and stretch a little.
I'd like to be seeing a crane yoga. That'd be, you know, surely there's a ring to that. Look, I mean, wouldn't things like breaks, though, in this, you know, occupational health and safety world, wouldn't they be mandated?
Well, yes, certainly there are breaks that are mandated around meal breaks and that sort of thing, but people don't always use them to... And this is Katrina's view of the world.
Okay.
Don't always use them to their best advantage.
All right.
So people might have a break and they've been sitting for hours and then they'll go and sit to eat their lunch. Now, obviously, it's healthy to sit and eat, but then maybe putting your feet up and reading the paper for 20 minutes when maybe going for a brisk walk or something like that might be better for the body.
And is it true that crane drivers especially suffer from something called angel wings?
You've been reading my notes, which is lovely, Ali. Angel wings is a term that was actually coined by a colleague of mine many years ago. So it's where when the controls are often built onto the side of the seat, and to operate those, often the elbow has to go back past their body, and the shoulder blade has that pointy bit, and it starts to stick out a little bit. And over time, that can put significant pressure on the upper back and shoulders and cause discomfort, pain, and even injury.
Well, there you go, crane drivers. You're all angels in waiting. See? Very nice. So how long is it healthy to sit for?
That's a good question, Ali. So some people would say 20 minutes, some people would say 30, some would say 40. I think 30 is a good medium, because obviously if you're a desk jockey, then you need to have your productivity around that. And obviously if you're in a crane or a truck or a taxi or a bus, you can't get up every 30 minutes. But if you're working in an office-based work, or even if you're in a blue-collar work that ties you to computers and things, just standing up and moving every 30 minutes is a great idea to keep the body a little healthier.
All right. So that sounds all fairly straightforward. What about this one? How long is it healthy to stand up for? Do you also need rests and movement the other way?
Absolutely, Ali. That's a great thing. And that's why I said before that the desk is standing desk is part of a program, because some of the listeners who are of my vintage might remember back in the 70s and 80s when the checkout girls had lots of pain in their legs from standing all day at the checkout. So, yes, about 20 minutes for standing as well. However, that'll depend if people have chronic injuries. So some people aren't able to sit for long periods of time because they might have back or hip pain. And then some people might not be able to stand for long periods of time because they might have knee or ankle pain. So it's going to vary with individuals. And making it work for yourself and being aware is the most important thing.
It is 12 past 10. My guest on 891 Mornings this morning is Katrina James, who is a workplace ergonomist. Katrina, what about those who drive for a living? I'm thinking truck drivers, bus drivers, cab drivers. I know a lot of our listeners do fall into this category. What can they be doing? You mentioned before that, you know, there's not a lot of places, you know, they have to have the productivity. But what else can they do?
So some of the important things that they can do, particularly heavy vehicle drivers, is make sure that, because they actually, as well as the sitting, they also have the vibration from the vehicle. So making sure that their seat suspension and the damping is in good condition, that they've got it set to the right suspension as well as the right height. And then obviously making sure that their back support is right, they've got some lumbar support, and they haven't got their arms too far outstretched, that they've actually got a bend in their elbows to reduce the strain on their shoulders. And then when they do have a break, yes, you know, truckies need their sleep, they need their rest, they need to eat, but just, you know, a brisk walk or just to get that blood flow moving in the body is really important.
Okay, talk to me about beaded seat covers. do they work, or does it just make you feel like a cool 70s driver?
I think the beaded seats, the gel, all those things, really what they do is they can make people feel more comfortable. Maybe with the beaded seat, there's a little bit more ventilation getting through because they've got the holes in the summer. But really, they don't change any of the access to vibration, and they don't change the posture. But if it makes people feel good, I'm not going to say don't do it.
Yes, me neither. I'm not judging. I like beaded seats. We're in the middle of sort of school holidays here, so a lot of people would probably be driving longer distances than they normally would. Do you often see injuries occur because of somebody jumping into an activity that they don't normally do? Or is driving still gentle enough for most people to just do it unscathed?
Yeah, driving's gentle enough for most people, but from a cognitive perspective, so from a mental perspective, I think people forget how much attention driving takes, and that's really the most critical thing, and that our mind will tire of that after 2 hours, which is what the RTA publicise, and so taking a break is the most important thing. But also from a physical perspective, if people do have low back and shoulder problems, yes, if they all of a sudden do a 12-hour car trip, they're going to notice.
Speaking of shoulder problems, keeping your phone up on your, talking on your mobile phone, are you starting to see technology induced injuries that you're having to deal with that you've never had to do, either people hunching down and looking at their phone, the more obvious walking into a light pole while you're looking, but also, you know, when you're trying to keep that phone to your ear, the really thin line,
yes,
slim smartphones and things like that.
Look, Ali, what I find is it's a cumulative thing. So a while ago I ran a session with some IT people who wanted some beefing up on ergonomics, and I did a little survey and asked them how many devices they had at home and some of them had up to 15 devices. So it's not just looking down at the phone, it's then looking down at your laptop or the whatever, your desktop, your iPad. It's a combination and it's a cumulative factor, but you're spot on as well that jamming that little slim phone between your neck and your shoulder is going to present the same problems as it did over the last 20 years around the standard desktop telephone. People will get a sore neck, but it's cumulative. It takes a long time to show.
And what about computer screen heights? Where should they be for us to have the perfect sitting if you're having to sit?
So if you're sitting and you have your chin upwards and you're looking straight ahead, the top task bar in the middle of your screen should be what you're seeing.
Okay, all right, so I'm just measuring that out in my head. Beautiful. I've got a text here saying, what about the poor old bobcat excavator drivers? Oh, you're all angels too.
Yes, I completely agree, Ali. I think that's a lovely text. And for bobcat drivers, look, I love the bobcat cats. They do fabulous jobs in our small urban spaces and small manufacturing spaces. But if you're a 6'3" guy and you have to wear a hard hat, you're going to struggle to fit inside that little cage. So it's really about understanding, can I fit comfortably? Am I hunched when I'm in there? Because also if they hit a bump, then they're going to hit their head on the roof and potentially end up with a compression injury. So yes, excavator drivers as well, for sure. It's looking after that, the right seat, height and suspension to look after themselves.
Well, Katrina James, thank you for making a lot of people feel like angels in waiting this morning. Really appreciate your time and talking to us about ergonomics. If anyone wants any more information or you've listened to this and thought, well, I want to find out the right setup, go to Think Ergonomics. Think Ergonomics, not Think Ergonomics. Although it's spelt the same way. Thinkergonomics.com.au. Katrina James, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Ali.